always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says a last-minute crisis is holding up approval of the ceasefire deal with Hamas. CBS's Remy Innocencio says Israel's cabinet will vote on the deal tomorrow.
U.S. officials are hopeful that any more setbacks will get resolved quickly.
I'm very confident that this is moving forward, and we'll see the start of implementation of the agreement on Sunday.
Outgoing Secretary of State Antony Blinken. Los Angeles County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney says diminishing winds are helping to give his crews a breather.
Today, we are focused on efforts to reset department staffing to ensure our personnel get the much-needed and overdue rest and recovery they require.
Three senators, including Massachusetts Democrat Ed Markey, have sent a letter to President Biden to delay the ban of TikTok by 90 days.
A TikTok ban would impose serious consequences on millions of Americans who depend upon the app for social connections and their economic livelihood.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Milwaukee Brewers Hall of Fame radio broadcaster Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. The team announced his passing this morning. Uecker has been the team's primary radio broadcaster since 1971. The Milwaukee native is a member of several Hall of Fames, including the National Baseball Hall of Fame, which he was inducted into in 2003. On Tuesday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case that would potentially alter the Department of Natural Resources' ability to enforce the state's spills law and challenge the DNR's classification of what chemicals are considered hazardous substances. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
The lawsuit was filed by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce in 2021 and argues that the DNR has not provided sufficient guidance on how it categorizes PFAS contaminants. A circuit court judge and a conservative-leaning court of appeals ruled in favor of the WMC. The state appealed that decision, stating that as this is an evolving issue and the DNR's guidance should be qualified as rulemaking. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will revisit the case today and will consider what authority the DNR should have in its rulemaking process as a state agency. Based on how the court rules in that case, it would expand Governor Tony Evers' rulemaking authority or maintain one committee's ability to strike down rules established by state agencies.
The Department of Transportation declares that all state highways are officially frozen, and the frozen road law will expand to include the entire state. The frozen road law allows heavier loads for trucks carrying logs and sand and salt for winter maintenance while cold weather allows. Wisconsin DOT and county highway personnel monitor temperature forecasts along with frost tubes, liquid-filled devices under pavement to help determine when roads are adequately frozen to accommodate heavier loads. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers GM on Jordan Love. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Brian Gutekunst held his end-of-season press conference, saying wide receiver Christian Watson has not had surgery yet for his torn ACL. The Packers GM asked if Jordan Love took a step back this year at quarterback.
Obviously, he went through some things this year, battled through some injuries that he hadn't done that before. Came out the other side of it and was really proud of him, how he went through that. And he's leading our team exactly how we want him to do it, so I'm excited about it.
And baseball, remembering Bob Uecker. Born in Milwaukee, served in the military, played catcher in the big leagues before calling Brewers games for 53 years, Uecker at his induction into baseball's Hall of Fame.
I signed a very modest $3,000 bonus with the Braves in Milwaukee, which I'm sure a lot of you know, and my old man didn't have that kind of money to put out. But the Braves took it.
Bob Uecker had suffered from lung cancer the past 2 years. He was 90 years old. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Mostly cloudy and mild today, with high temperatures flirting with the freezing mark in the low 30s. But we're battling breezy winds out of the northwest, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And they'll switch to out of the south tonight, warming us up even more for tomorrow. Highs will be in the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 35.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin. I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
We have a very big, important meeting. So coming up on the show, a specially curated edition of Matinair on Air. We'll be back with you live on Monday. Don't miss it.
Matinair on Air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, January 16th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. In part two today, we're going to speak with Anna James Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension. Looking forward to that. Right now in studio, we have Jillian Alekna with us, marketing and events coordinator with our good friends over at Visit Rome. Jillian, how you doing?
Good. How about you?
Good. How was your holidays? Do you have a good one? Do you have a good run?
Yeah, really nice holiday. A lot of good time spent with family, but also, like many people around the holidays, I feel kind of like I was running around everywhere.
Yes. Yeah, it's kind of nice to, it almost feels like this is our chance to breathe.
Yeah.
Just take a moment and then take a beat. And also check out some great fun things in our area.
Yes.
Especially this time of year. Getting the opportunity to have things to do and things to look forward to is really part of how you get through winter and how you survive some of these colder months and everything. And man, do we have a ton of things lined up for you to do and
too.
Things for you. Let's dive right into Wednesdays in winter. And die over at Lake Sherwood.
Yeah, so every Wednesday in winter for as long as, I don't know how long.
Yeah, a long time.
Lake Sherwood Lodge will be having Bargo from 6:30 to 9 p.m. If you like bingo and playing cards, this is a nice kind of amalgamation of both of them.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm not entirely sure how to play the game, but if I've already piqued your interest, reach out to Lake Sherwood Lodge at 715-325-2636 if you have any questions or want to sign up to play.
And I believe that if you've never played the game and you'd like to learn about it, this is a great opportunity.
Oh, absolutely.
I imagine the people there would love to show you how to play the game.
Mm-hmm.
I know plenty of people in my family love to show me card games, but it's usually to hustle me. They're looking to do this just to have some fun and get some new members involved with this. And I imagine the more the merrier. This is, again, going from 6:30 to 9 over at Lake Sherwood Lodge, Wednesdays in winter. Something to look forward to. Jillian, is there way you can call or get in touch with Lake Sherwood to find out more information if you need to?
Yeah, reach out to them via phone number at 715-325-2636.
I didn't know this was even a thing until we got together and started hanging out and talking about it, but they seem to be getting bigger and bigger meat raffles. Like, people love these.
So we have quite a few coming up between this taping and the next time I'm in here.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking off with January 18th, Cal's Corner will be having one at 1 p.m. January 26th, we go back to Lake Sherwood Lodge, once again at 1 p.m. And then two more at Cal's Corner, one of them on February 15th at 1, and then March 15th at 1 p.m. back at Cal's Corners.
It's great to have the Cal's Corner hosting these, Lake Sherwood, all these different places involved. Because one thing that raffles tend to do, and I imagine the meat raffles very similar, is sometimes people show up or go to places that they may have not gone to otherwise because of these raffles. And a meat raffle will be very similar to that. And along those lines, if you've never gone to a meat raffle, you got a bunch of different opportunities to check this out and see how much fun this is.
Mm-hmm. Even if you're just curious about what a meat raffle is. I mean, raffle, you probably think, gift baskets, sweepstakes, not a sausage or bacon or anything
that. And maybe that's something that would even make a good segment sometime. We bring somebody in or we talk about the meat raffles in general and what they are. You can check them out yourself. You got a lot of great opportunities for that. Friday, January 17th is where we go next.
Yeah, at Leicester Public Library of Rome, they'll be having a drop-in event called Birdseed Pine Cones and Storytime. Stop in to learn about birds and make your own pine cone bird feeder. DIY birdseed pine cones are easy and fun to make. All you need is a pine cone, obviously, peanut butter, and birdseed. Plus, they are a great way to attract many birds to your yard this winter, even when it feels like all animals have disappeared. Like I mentioned before, this program is drop-in family-friendly. However, if you are allergic to peanut butter or nuts at all, they are using peanut butter, so just FYI.
Yeah, keep that in mind. Peanut allergies and all of that being said. But what a great event. Shout out to the Leicester Library of Rome. Love our friends over there.
Yes.
Great individuals over there. And part of what I love about them is the creativity and the doing things like this. It's a great event. And I'm telling you, my mom might even show up for that. She's a big bird watcher. She loves having birds come by. And this is a really fun way of, you know, most people have their traditional bird feeders or their favorite bird feeders. Here's something new to put out there. And, you know, the animals will love it. The animals really love having a little bit of something different out there, especially this time of year.
Yeah.
And it feels good knowing that they have one more resource for food. Saturday, January 18th, we're going back to Lake Sherwood.
Yeah, definitely.
One of the bigger events too, Jillian.
Yes. In wintertime in Rome, definitely season of the fishery. Mm-hmm. And this week, along with the following weeks, are no different. It's our second fishery of the season, this time at Lake Sherwood Lodge, running from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. It is a DNR free fishing day, so keep that in mind if you want to go fishing. All proceeds from the event go to the Lake Sherwood Property Owners Association Conservation Fund. Registration begins at Sherwood Lodge at 7:30 a.m. The event kicks off at 8, ending at 4 p.m., and then an awards ceremony at 5. Registration fees are $15 for adults and $5 for kids 12 and under. Cash payouts will be made for the largest northern, bass, walleye, and largest overall fish, whereas in the children's section, kids can compete for trophies for panfish. If you have any questions, contact the Lake Sherwood Property Owners Association at 715-325-4066.
We can get that information to you again if you need it. You can also find it at visitromewi.com. You can find all the information Jillian and I are talking about there. More on that a little bit later. I do want to take just a beat on this, Jillian, because it actually comes up because of some of the other Midday Magazine conversations I've had lately, and the idea of keeping these kind of things alive in our communities. We all understand, I think, that outdoor activities are a huge part of the economics in Wisconsin, and how our friends up north have been affected by the lack of snow and some of these things. But whether it's fishing or hunting or ATV riding or any of these things, these are some sports and some things that we still need young blood in. We need younger people involved in to keep them alive and keep them relevant, keep them going in this area, in Wisconsin in general, but especially in this area. And when it comes to a free day for fishing, a big tip of the hat to the DNR for this. When I was growing up, this was a fun thing, but it felt like everybody fished. You know, and it kind of felt like, well, this is just another day. I mean, we're all out there fishing anyway. This has become more and more vital as we go forward to maybe spark something in a kid or in a person looking for a new hobby or something like that, to where all of a sudden that's what they're doing with their time this summer. They're out there fishing. This event could have sparked so much from this, along with just being a fun community event. We love these fisheries.
Yes, and I give major props to not only Lake Sherwood, but all of these places that have been holding fisheries just for their creativity. And this year, and actually last year when we had kind of a joke of winter with no snow, where they switched to, I think it was virtual fisheries.
Yes, yeah.
Just
really smart.
Yes. kind of not going down without a fight.
Like, yeah, yeah.
The show must go on.
and that's such the Midwest spirit.
Yeah.
That's something we love about this. And again, I hope encourages people to, if they haven't, even if you haven't fished in a while, or maybe you've got a child that hasn't done it or anything like that, give them an opportunity. Put them out there and see how it goes. I think you're going to be surprised, and they might be surprised by how much they enjoy it.
Yes.
That is a great event. Looking forward to that. Another great event coming up same day, and something we've been talking about every chance we get on the air here, and we even talked about it on Playmakers, our sports show, the Nordic Day at Tri-Norris Winter Park. This is a fun event.
Yeah, so this kind of replaces their ski jump event that they've had for many, many years. This is almost kind of a choose-your-own-adventure type.
Yeah, nicely put.
From 10 a.m. to 3 p.m., you can come on out to Tri-Norris Winter Park to explore the trails for free. The inside trails will be marked for snowshoeing or hiking if we have enough snow. The outer trails will be groomed for cross-country skiing. If you are interested in ski jumping, you can bring your kids to a try-it ski jumping session where they will learn to ski jump starting from the 5-meter hill with some veteran ski jumpers. They are offering two sessions, the AM one being 10:30 to noon, and the PM one being 1 p.m. to 2:30. They do have a limited supply of skis, helmets, and boots for youth jumpers, and they strongly encourage pre-registration. And you can find that pre-registration link either on their Facebook page or if you go to the Tri-Norris website.
The try it ski jumping sessions for kids. That's such a great wordplay. I love that so much. And we love our friends over there. And again, this is another one of those sports looking to keep alive, looking to bring young blood into while also enjoying. And this, you may have heard a bit of a theme with those last two events, both free, both open to the public. If you missed the times, so the fishery is going to be going from 7:30 to 5. The Nordic day is going to be going from 10 to 3. So you can get both in.
Yeah,
you can get both in there if you want, everybody. That is a fun weekend lined up for you this Saturday, and we got it covered for you. We just took care of your Saturday.
Yeah.
You're all done. And we're not done because Saturday night you got something to look forward to, too. So we even got plans for you at night.
Yeah, we're going back to Lake Sherwood Lodge from 7 to 11 p.m. for some karaoke with Two Bros Karaoke.
Yeah, that's great. They do a really good job with
this,
too.
They do.
So there you go. You can wrap up the night of fishing and checking out ski jumping and everything by doing some karaoke and doing your best version or your favorite song or anything. That's going to be a lot of fun, and having karaoke sessions are a blast for most people. 7 to 11 over at Lake Sherwood Lodge this Saturday. Next Friday we go next, Jan.
We go back to the Lester Public Library of Rome for a graphic design for all Canva tutorial class. That'll be 3 to 4 p.m. on Friday the 24th. Have you ever wanted to make professional-looking digital graphics at home? Attend our introductory tutorial on using the Canva software, and you'll be on your way to making your own designs. Canva, for those of you that don't know, is a graphic design tool, online graphic design tool, that is free to use, and no registration is required for this event. Mm-hmm. Please note, though, this is a basic overview of Canva and some of its features geared toward new users. There will be instructions given on how to use the program, but the tutorial isn't specifically hands-on. Mm-hmm. More detailed sessions, including hands-on sessions, may be offered in the future based on participant interests. And I think this is a great thing. I use Canva for my job daily.
Yeah, yeah.
100%.
And here's an opportunity to learn about it and have some fun, creativity and everything with having a guide to give you a hand throughout that. And if you have questions, they want them. They want to hear from them. This is also one of those things that you can even kind of pre-look at and check out a little bit before the event.
Mm-hmm.
So if you just want to get a little familiarity with it or something. But Jillian's right. It's a great resource, great source. And love the idea of more and more people being able to resource these things, use these things, thanks to our libraries.
You know,
whether it's Macmillan here in Rapids or it's Lester in Rome, constantly sharing of information and wanting more and more people to be able to learn this stuff. stuff. Just a big tip of the hat to them. You talk about above and beyond. Our libraries do that so much.
Yes, they definitely do.
Very similar to our friends at Visit Rome. You guys do quite a bit. Jillian and I were talking in our pregame how you guys, we all have to wear so many hats. I give a big tip of the hat to you and your staff and your fellow teammates over there. And we do a similar thing with our friends at Historic Point Boss.
Yeah.
Love our friends over there. And we're going to talk about their ice harvest coming up.
Yeah, so they have an ice harvest on Saturday, January 25th from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. And it's actually kind of a two-part event. So during the Port Edwards Lions Club Fishery, which is 10 to 3 at NEPCO Lake County Park, Point Bass will be offering an opportunity for you to try your hand at ice harvesting. Then later on from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m., go back to the historic Point Bass location and witness the filling of the ice house on our site. They do use the ice all year for chilling their drinks and making ice cream at events. This event is 100% free to the public, so even if you're just curious or you're wondering, okay, what the heck even is ice harvesting, highly encourage you to check it out.
Yeah. It's a great time to be able to do that while also learning more about our area and the history of our area, helping keep history alive with the Historic Point Boss and all of these things. Encourage you to do that. Find out more and take in this event. You can go to their website if you'd like, historicpointboss.com. I imagine Mike and the gang will be in with us on midday to talk about the ice harvest, but that is going to be a fun event. Make sure to make plans for that one.
Yeah.
Saturday, January 25th, more trivia at Lake Arrowhead.
Yeah, that'll be 3:30 to 6 p.m. Join us for the return of trivia nights on select Saturdays in winter. Team registration begins 30 minutes before the start of the event. It is $20 per team, and the teams consist of 2 to 8 players. There will be 6 rounds with 10 questions each, so 60 questions. For all rules, regulations, specifications, I would say visit the Lake Arrowhead website and click on the events tab. Instead of me just reading all of these rules and putting some of you to sleep.
I think that we appreciate that.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I get you. Yeah, that's a good idea. Go ahead and check out the website and find out more. And we'll see you at trivia, everybody.
Yeah.
Saturday, January 25th, more great live music at Lake Sherwood.
Yeah, running 4 p.m. to 7 p.m., Lake Sherwood Lodge will be having Lance Black.
Mm-hmm. Heard good things about Lance. I would actually like to get him on one of our shows. He sounds like a really good artist, an interesting one. You can check him out Saturday, January 25th at Lake Sherwood. Coming up that Monday, January 27th through February 11th, a great one at the Lester Library.
February 1st, actually.
Oh, did I say February? Oh, okay, February 1st,
no,
yeah.
That's okay. They'll be having a Lego Challenge Week running from 4 p.m. Monday through 7 p.m. on Saturday, so their closing day. Attention all Lego lovers. We will be celebrating National Lego Day throughout the week. This is a drop-in event for children and families. So whether you are a Lego fanatic, your kid's a Lego fanatic, or you're just curious, stop on in.
I still am. Like, yes. I noticed this. Like, obviously, I couldn't tell you the last time I played with Legos, but my nephews were around, and they had some during Christmas. Mm-hmm. And I'm just immediately right down there playing with them. I mean, they're just fun. That's going to be a really cool event, hosted by some amazing people at the Lester Library of Rome. Friday, January 31st, kicks off the Sand County Classic.
Yeah, the annual pond hockey tournament at Sand Valley. That'll be running 9 a.m. Friday through 2 p.m. on Sunday. Sand Valley is thrilled to host the third annual pond hockey tournament, the Sand County Classic. Teams of 6 to 8 players will participate in a 4-versus-4 round-robin style tournament beginning Friday afternoon and culminating in the championship games Sunday morning. You can register your team today at sandvalleypursuits.com. However, if you are like me and you are more prone to falling on the ice than skating around gracefully, spectators are always appreciated and welcomed, and you can spectate for free.
It's a fun event. There's nothing I would say, and I'm biased about this. I grew up in a hockey family, but I don't think there's any sport more fun to see live than hockey, mm-hmm. and seeing it in person like this. And you're going to be able to encourage and rally these players, and also just have some fun on the ice yourself, possibly, or just taking it in. It's a great event. Encourage you to check that one out. Mark your calendars, everybody. Saturday, February 1st, the third annual Mark Simons Memorial Fishery. This is an important one.
Yeah, this will be at Lake Camelot Lodge from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. There is pre-registration starting January 30th from 2 to 6 through February 1st at 9 a.m., so right away when the fishing starts. It is $15 for adults. Kids 15 and under are free. And prize-wise, first through third place for northern, walleye, and bass for the adults. And then children can register with their two largest panfish and will receive $2 per inch. The largest panfish wins the grand prize. And like I kind of mentioned earlier in the show, with or without ice, this event will continue. The indoor fishery, you'll be guaranteed $500 cash prize. And if fishing's not your style, 100% okay. They have basket raffles, 50-50 raffles, meat raffles, and if you are a veteran, there is a veteran prize giveaway of a portable ice shack.
Wow.
Whew. Yeah.
They don't mess around with the prizes and stuff. They do some great stuff over there. That is really cool. Our friends at the Historic Point Boss have their Pinery Road snowshoe coming up. I gotta take this in. I've been wanting to do something like this, and they're hosting it. I got to do this.
Yeah, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Saturday, February 1st. Snowshoe and or hike, depending on snow conditions. They're 3.5 miles of trails, or simply just join them for hot cider and roasted marshmallows. The schoolhouse on the property will be open as a warming house, where there will be a traditional snowshoe construction demonstration. There are trail maps available, and the bonfire will be in the upper parking lot with marshmallows for roasting.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Everybody make plans to attend that event. We'll be talking about it more, I'm sure, with the gang from the Historic Point Boss. And wanted to make sure to mention another great event at Lister Library, Building Igloos. That's cool.
Yeah, that'll be 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, February 5th. This program involves building creations with toothpicks and marshmallows. This is a family-friendly drop-in event with no registration required. And once again, lots of creativity. So even if you're not feeling like making an igloo and you want to make a cube, I guess, go for it.
And Jillian, in the last minute we have here, I did want to wrap up with one more event. The time goes by so fast.
Yeah.
But we're wrapping up with a big one, a really good one.
Oh, yes. Friday, February 7th through Sunday, February 9th is Lake Arrowhead's annual Snow Blast event. They have so many things going on within this extended weekend. Probably could take a whole other session explaining them all, but some of the highlights, cocktail tasting, a Friday fish fry buffet, a comedy hypnotist.
Yeah.
For outdoor activities, they have penguin egg hunt, snowman building contest, lawnmower races.
Wow.
They have puppy yoga, the ping pong tournament, puzzle competition, a Super Bowl watch party, just everything
so
but the kitchen sink.
It
basically
really does. Live music by Bob Allen from 8:30 to 11:30. That's going to be great. That hypnotist comedian is also going to involve Colin Mockery. They come in one of the better improv artists I've ever seen. Like, it's a really cool event that they've got going on.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't even know that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm really going.
It's a really exciting event. And some other really cool things going on. And Lake Arrowhead does such a great job with these events. A big tip to hat to them and all of the businesses and nonprofits over in the Rome area. Love our friends over there and love hanging out with you, Jillian. If people want to find out more, we'll send them to the website.
Yes.
VisitRomeWI.com. VisitRomeWI.com. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great follow and share their events. It's you never know who might see them otherwise. Jillian, always good to hang out with you. Happy New Year to you and the whole team over there. And we'll talk next month.
Yeah, always good to be here.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank is your locally owned, full-service community bank in Nakusa, Port Edwards, and the town of Rome. Since 1913, they've been helping area communities, businesses, and individuals with their financial needs and are happy to sponsor these What's Happening in Rome live discussions. Hope you enjoy the updates. Everyone at Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank is proud to be part of these exciting developments in the town of Rome. Remember, when in Rome, bank at Nakusa Port Edwards State Bank. Member Equal Housing Lender, FDIC insured.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Wisconsin's representation in Washington grew yesterday. Stuart J. Waddles has the story.
Former Wisconsin Congressman Sean Duffy received bipartisan support during his confirmation hearing to become President-elect Donald Trump's Secretary of Transportation. Both Wisconsin Senators, Republican Ron Johnson and Democrat Tammy Baldwin, introduced Duffy. They both expressed confidence in his ability to lead the department. During the hearing, Duffy pledged to prioritize safety.
The law of the month is safe winter driving. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot tells us more.
Snow, sleet, and ice all make it harder to control and stop our vehicles. From October 2023 to May 2024, winter weather contributed to more than 11,000 crashes in Wisconsin, resulting in 9 fatalities and over 2,000 injuries. So here's what we need to do. Drive at a reasonable speed to prevent crashes. Give snowplows space to work. Those drivers work long hours to clear nearly 115,000 miles of roads across the state. The State Patrol recommends clear snow and ice from your vehicle windows, lights, roof, and hood. And snow means slow. Allow extra travel time, following distance, and reduce your speed. Avoid sudden braking or steering. And don't be overconfident with four-wheel or all-wheel drive.
A new recycling practice may explain why the amount of collected materials dropped by nearly 7,000 tons between 2013 and 2022 in Wisconsin. Wisconsin Policy Forum Senior Research Associate Tyler Barnes says it's called lightweighting. Companies have shifted to using less materials to package their products, which leads to less waste in the system. Barnes says a plastic water bottle today weighs nearly 40% less than one from 10 years ago. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. If you're looking for a trip down TV memory lane and were a fan of the show Twin Peaks, this might pique your interest. The murder mystery drama set in the Pacific Northwest will be available on Blu-ray box set. In addition to all the seasons, there will be 27 hours of behind the scenes and extra features. The box set doesn't officially drop until February 3rd, but you can currently pre-order it on Amazon for a cool $56. Actors work odd jobs to pay rent before their big break. For actor David Schwimmer, one of the gigs included serving divorce papers after his freshman year in college, thanks to his lawyer mother. The Friends actor and star of the new show Goosebumps told Stephen Colbert he once served singer Rod Stewart with divorce papers. Apparently, Alana Stewart, Rod's wife at the time, no longer wanted his body or thought he was sexy. Goosebumps is available to stream on Peacock. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Mostly cloudy and mild today, with high temperatures flirting with the freezing mark in the low 30s. But we're battling breezy winds out of the northwest, gusting up to 25 miles per hour. And they'll switch to out of the south tonight, warming us up even more for tomorrow. Highs will be in the mid-30s. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. It's 33 at our studios.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today, I'm talking about why, if you've got savings, you need a high-yield savings account. High yield just means high interest, you know, the money the bank pays you for keeping your money with them. You will probably find the highest yield savings accounts at an online bank, just go on and Google and do some research and figure out who's offering the highest rates right now. Now, lately, it's been between 4 and 5%. That is your savings earning real interest. And okay, figuring out all the details of opening a new bank account can be very annoying, but I bet you can probably get one going in less than an hour. So give yourself 60 minutes and get it done. I've done it. You'll thank yourself when you see your money making money for doing nothing. For more everyday money help, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Our friend Matt Rothschild will be in the guest hosting chair next time, along with Tourism Secretary Ann Sayers, Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and Brittany Merlot, talking owls and birds. Join them.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, January 16th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mailoff, here, and we're joined by our great friend, Anna James Mitchell, natural resource educator with UW-Madison Extension. Anna, good to have you in with us.
It's good to be here, James.
Thanks so much for the time. Appreciate it. Hope you and yours had a great set of holidays, a good New Year's,
yes.
All the above. Yeah. Wishing a Happy New Year's to all of our friends at Extension. Please pass that on
to them.
We're going to get right into it, and we're talking wildfires, wildfire information and awareness.
Yeah.
Timely and perfect topic for us, and especially to dive into, where we hear this term or we hear about these things a lot. And I think one of the fears for me about this, and I will admit I have some stake in the game. I lived out in California. Yeah. I have a lot of family and friends out that way. I worry that we get a little tone deaf to these terms and these things happening.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think that this adds not only detail and important information to that, but hopefully brings some empathy along with
it. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping for, you know. And I just want to acknowledge that this is a very sensitive topic right now, right? And I want to be so genuine in letting all the listeners know that my heart, my thoughts, my prayers are truly to those who are impacted directly or indirectly by the fires in California right now. And I just want to take this opportunity to really discuss the ecological impacts of wildfire and also how we in Wisconsin can prepare ourselves if something were to happen like this.
Yeah. There's some fascinating history involved with man and fire.
Yes.
And, you know, we've talked about this before with you. We've talked about it with a couple of individuals, actually, when it comes to the history of controlled burning and some of these things. It's all tied together and it's all interesting. And I think important when we take a step back, a beat back to take this in.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll just start there about the cultural relevance of kind of wildland fire in our, you know, country's history, right? So for a very long time, fire was an integral part to many indigenous ways of life, many indigenous people's ways of life. So Native Americans, Alaska Natives, Native Hawaiians, they used to use fire to clear areas for crops and travel. They used it to manage a lot of their land for specific species of both plants and animals. They used it to hunt game, to provide resources for themselves and for many other important uses. These indigenous populations use fire as a tool to promote ecological diversity and to reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfires, right? These practices were really ignored during the era of fire suppression in the 20th century due to land management agencies' enforcement of different practices. However, today, this view has changed in recent years, and the use of fire is now an accepted practice for land management, and it's an accepted practice and promoted practice in land management.
It's something that, is just really interesting to think about.
Yeah.
And to think of so many of the beautiful parts of this state came from this, you know, and opened this up for us and everything. It is a great thing to bring up, and it's a great example as well of how wildfire can be friend or foe.
Yeah, well, it really can be, James. As we can see right now, wildfire in the wrong place at the wrong time can just wreak absolutely havoc, to threaten our homes, communities, natural and cultural resources. And fire in the right place at the right time can be beneficial for the environment for reasons like reducing grass, brush, and trees that can fuel those larger fires when not taken care of. So like we had started saying, it may seem like we in Wisconsin can be pretty far removed from
wildfires. But that is far from the truth. In fact, according to the Wisconsin DNR website, I did a lot of research into this topic for our history. According to Wisconsin DNR website, the deadliest wildfire in Wisconsin's history occurred in 1871. For some of you who might know, that is the Peshtigo Fire. That burned 1.2 million acres. That is...
Whoa.
Yeah, 1.2 million acres across northeast Wisconsin. It took 1,200 lives and estimated $169 million in damage. Yep. And in more recent history, there was a German road fire that occurred in 2013, and it consumed 7,499 acres and destroyed 104 structures in Douglas and Bayfield counties.
Just devastating to hear. And the 2013 one, I remember that. Yeah. I think many will out there, and it's hard to forget.
Yeah.
And an important note, I'm a history buff, and I don't believe I knew about that one in 1871.
The Peshtigo,
I don't think I heard about that. I will say, as a kid growing up in Chicago, one of the first stories you hear is the Chicago Fire and about that. And it's where you learn Second City doesn't come from, it comes from the rebirth of that city, the phoenix of that city coming back from the ashes. I think all of these stories are important, especially given the current climate and what is going on in out on the West Coast.
Yes, very much so.
Wildfire causes, I think, is another important aspect of this. Anna, can we get into that a little bit?
Yeah, for sure. So there are a lot of ways in which wildland fires can start, and I'm only going to touch on a couple today, and I really encourage you, if you're interested in learning more, to go to the Wisconsin DNR website. So according to Wisconsin DNR, debris burning is the number one cause for wildfires in Wisconsin. These fires generally occur in spring, after the snow melts and people are out taking care of their yards. The snow has melted, but the grass hasn't greened up, and there can be this time frame in the middle where there can be fire burn warnings, and really dry conditions. And that's when people are burning leaves or burning pine needles. And that's when a majority of the debris fires start in Wisconsin. There's also equipment fires, which account for nearly one third of Wisconsin's wildfires. Most of those are caused by sparks or hot exhaust systems from things like logging equipment, farm equipment, or just off-road recreation vehicles. We also have campfires. Wisconsin is very well known for our outdoor opportunities. Who doesn't love to go outside and have a campfire, right? But if you don't take care of that campfire once you're done sitting around it, that can be a huge cause for wildfires.
Yeah. And I think a lot of our generations, and all that, immediately think of Smokey the Bear and some of that. I think we could use Smokey right now. Bring him back. He's still out there.
Parts
still doing
Smokey.
Stuff. Yeah, parts of Smokey. We could, but the awareness to that stuff was so... It felt like it was such, like, even in living in the city, I saw stuff like that all the time.
Oh, yeah.
I think bringing awareness to this is one of the, silver linings that can come from an event like this.
Yeah.
How wildfire impacts wildlife and forests.
Yeah.
This is something, was new to me. I did not feel or experience very much until moving out here and seeing how my grandparents were so empathetic about this and worrying and wondering how the wildlife, how the animals are doing and all that.
Yeah.
That's an important part of the topic too.
Yeah, it's so important. So wildfires can be inevitable, but not all fire is harmful to our forests, right? A lot of our native animals, plants, etc. have adapted alongside ecosystems that have experienced fire throughout generations, right? So we're going to talk about two different types of forest fires. So we have low intensity fires. These fires can naturally clean and thin the forest by removing any flammable and thick vegetation on the floors and can reduce the risk of large scale, high severity fires, right? So the results of low intensity fires is improved habitat for wildlife, healthier soils, and new growth of native plants. In fact, some plants, like I said, in animal populations, they've adapted alongside fire and benefit from having fire on their landscapes. So for example, there's the endangered Karna blue butterfly caterpillar that gets all of its food from a plant that we can see here in central Wisconsin, which is wild lupin. Hmm. Well, wild lupin actually thrives in areas that have been disturbed by fire. There's two species, plant and animal, that benefit from fire, landscape that has experienced fire.
Wow.
Yep. And then some plant seeds require exposure to fire in order to even germinate and grow and bloom. So there's certain types of lilies that have to experience, their seeds have to experience fire in order to bloom and grow.
To that, if piggybacking off of that, one of the things that I learned out in California was how some trees do this as well.
Yeah.
The lodgepole pine, eucalyptus, and banksia all release their seeds during a fire.
Yeah.
There's even a pyrolific plants.
Yeah.
Specific. I thought that's just fascinating.
I know. It is.
Nature is amazing.
It is truly.
Just amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. And there was a little more to this during low intensity fires.
Yeah. So during low intensity fires, we oftentimes think about, well, what does the wildlife do? They've adapted to strategies to survive fire, right? So during these low intensity fires, they can avoid fire and smoke in a couple of different strategies. So frogs and rodents will often retreat into deep underground burrows, where they will escape the fire and smoke. So other animals like deer and bear, they'll move across or around the forest until the flames subside. So they can, in those low intensity fires, the fire's not burning quick enough and isn't moving quick enough through the landscape for them to, you know, not be able to escape. They're able to kind of move around those fires.
I didn't see it in person, but one of the things I saw on video, I knew that there were bears in California.
Yeah.
I didn't know how many until I saw a video of this. And they're doing it like they're in order.
Yeah.
Like it's so organic the way they do it, but it looks like they actually like, okay, who's number
in charge?
Four? Yeah. Who's in charge and all that? It's just very unique. It also speaks to, again, the creativity and the beauty of nature and how adaptable it is. And I think that there's maybe a bit of a sadness to it when you think about how nature has had to adapt because of things that we have done or something.
Right.
Fires have been happening long before human beings.
Oh, yes.
And so animals adapting to this, it makes sense, but it's still just fascinating and really cool to hear about. And again, I think brings in some empathy, not only for these animals, but for our fellow human beings all over, not just in the West Coast, but whenever these things happen again or what have you.
Yeah.
The high severity fire burns through the forest. Touching on some of that again, touching on that a little bit too.
Yeah. So high severity fires. These are the fires that burn through the forest floor and canopy, and they can be devastating to wildlife habitat and surrounding communities. So, during high severity wildfires, wildlife have more challenging time finding refuge because the fire burns so quickly across a landscape. And then it actually climbs often to the tree canopy. So this is, you know, what we're seeing in California. It's moving at just such a rapid rate that it's just devastating. So these fires, they're burning so hot that they can actually scorch the soil and cause it to be no more suitable for habitat, for like native plants. And so when you have these native plants that are just wrecked, for lack of better terms, by wildfire, they have a hard time coming back. So what moves in? Invasive species.
Yeah.
We've talked about invasive species before, right?
It comes back. Just like invasive species, it keeps coming back.
And they're so prolific and quick to move into those areas. We've talked about wildlife corridors in the past here on the show. Well, wildlife quarters in high severity fires are greatly impacted. They can be disconnected due to the massive loss of vegetation, which impedes the natural movement of animals and can restrict habitat and food sources. So,
you know, another one that this brings up too is the severity of these things in out in Australia and how much wildlife. I believe it was like something like 20-30% of their wildlife they lost during that last devastating fire they had a couple of years ago.
Right.
It brings it home when these kind of things are happening in our neck of the woods.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
And that high severity fires, just one last thing on that.
So high severity fires, we don't really think of water quality being impacted by fires, but in high severity fires, they can cause runoff that contains ash and debris. Well, when that runoff reaches a lake, river, or stream, it can actually really impact in a negative way the water quality and the life cycles of any fish or frogs, any aquatic life, really. So that's kind of another impact of those high severity fires that I think oftentimes gets overlooked, right? We're not really thinking about water when we're thinking about fire. I mean, right. We are in a way, but also not the water resources, right?
Right, right. And it's so important, no matter what the topic, really, if there isn't a chance to talk about water quality,
yeah.
to talk about it, to bring it up, to pay
yeah.
attention to
oh,
it,
yeah.
It's still something that is on so many of our minds and something that we need to focus on in order to make it happen and
yeah.
get this clean, more and more cleaner water.
Yeah.
And I cannot thank you enough for this topic and diving into this with us today
yeah.
and really getting into not only the history of it and the importance of that, but the importance of understanding this stuff. You brought it home for us with some of the stories that happened here in Wisconsin,
yeah.
but it's just as noteworthy and just as important to have some empathy, even if it wasn't happening
right.
here.
Right, yes.
And I do appreciate the tie-in. I've tried to do a similar thing on the morning show mm-hmm. and letting people know, you know, if – everybody knock on wood, all that,
yes.
You know, heaven forbid anything were to happen here in Wisconsin, devastating
yeah.
like this.
Yeah.
We would want Californians caring about us.
Yes.
We would want Californians traveling here to help us.
Right.
Like you see so many Wisconsinites and people from the Midwest traveling out to California
yep.
right now.
Yeah.
We are all connected.
We are.
And the way we get through this in life is together.
And it's a community approach.
It's a nice reminder of that.
Yes.
I think that I could sit there and bark about it all I want. This gives us the meat to back that up. This gives us the data and the facts
well,
to back
that
up.
I'm glad for that.
You could chew gum and walk at the same time. You can find so much of this interesting and appreciate the history of it and the future of really so many of these things we talked
yeah.
about, while also understanding that there is so much going on out there that there's as much as we grasp, I think there's a lot that we're still trying to grasp.
Yeah.
We're still trying to understand. And when it comes to all of this, what about what we can do? This
yeah.
is one of my favorite things about talking with you. You could have just left the topic right there with all that information, but you would like to wrap up with how we can impact these
yeah,
things.
Yeah, I got to give the listeners a little homework
appreciate
assignment,
that.
Right?
Yeah, I love that.
And, you know, it's just, I want to stress that we are very removed, right, from the wildfires in California right now. It is a possibility in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. At the scale, I don't know, but it is something that we need to think about. How are we making sure that our communities and our homes are well prepared for the circumstances of a wildfire? So I did a little bit of research on some resources that would be helpful for the listeners to visit. There's a ton of information on how to prepare your homes, yourself, and your community for the possibility of wildfires. So one of those resources is ready.gov. They have just a simple list of ways that you can plan for wildfires. And some of the ways include recognizing the warnings and alerts. So you can download the FEMA app and receive real-time alerts from the National Weather Service. Or you can sign up for community alerts in your area through the emergency alert system. So just really being aware of those systems that are out there to let you know if this is a possibility, right? You can make an emergency plan and ensure that everybody in your household knows and understands that plan. What will we do if this is a possibility in our community, right? You can strengthen your home by building or remodeling with fire-resistant materials. You can identify an outdoor water source with a hose that can reach any part of your property, right? I mean, I would say any part of your property that is close to your home, the buildings that you don't want
yeah,
lost
yeah.
in an instance like this. So you can create a fire resistance zone that is free of leaves, debris, or any other flammable materials that's at least 30 feet from your home. And then just know your evacuation zone and your evacuation route.
Those are things that are never horrible to practice, never
right.
bad. And while it is nothing even close to what's going on in California,
no.
I've mentioned before, my family had a really devastating fire happen to our home.
Mm.
And having a plan literally saved us.
Yeah.
It saved our dog, saved so much of the what was in that house.
Right.
And could have been so much worse without having a plan. It's a great note about that. And we want to encourage people to check out the DNR's website as well.
Yeah, so Wisconsin DNR, if you go to their website, it's dnr.wisconsin.gov. You can search fire management. They have a webpage on there with just loads of wonderful resources and information that help you understand wildfire, help you understand how land management in Wisconsin uses prescribed burning as a practice, but also they've got really great resources on preparing your property for the possibility of wildfire. They give you action steps to become what they call firewise. Really great resources to just increase your knowledge of what to do in the circumstances and how to prepare. And this website also has resources for community fire plans. So if you're a community planner, I'm sure a majority of communities have that. Maybe reaching out, if you're a community member, reaching out and seeing if your community has a fire plan and make yourself aware of what that fire plan is.
You have insurance, and you hope you never have to use it. You've got that there, and you break glass in case of needed. Right. That's what these things are. And whether it's the DNR website or some of the other resources Anna has given you today, that can only help you strengthen that. And hopefully you never have to use any of this, but boy, it's good to have.
Yeah, it is so good to have. And, you know, besides ready.gov and Wisconsin DNR, if you just want to learn more, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, U.S. Forest Service, there's so many different U.S. Park Service. There's so many different resources out there that you can look into, research for just more information on how to inform yourself. I can't stress this enough. I think every time I come on here, I really just want to help the listeners inform themselves of topics, to be aware of their natural resources, to be aware of how to protect their natural resources, you know? Mm-hmm. So,
and you're doing an amazing job at it.
Oh,
we greatly appreciate the details you put into this. You can find out more as well of how you can help impact things over in California right now. If you go to our website, civicmedia.us, there's a link right there to go to Convey of Hope. There are some other resources as well, encourage you to look into, and any ways that you can help out over there. We greatly appreciate that. And as much as we appreciate the time from you, Anna, and all the research and all the homework you put into these things. I don't know if the audience or even I understand how much you put into this and the added extra benefit you put into. Thank you so much for that. I really do appreciate it. If people want to find out more, reach out to you yourself. How can they do that?
Yeah, you can stop into the extension office over at the Wood County Courthouse, or you can email me at anna.m.james@wisc.edu.
And check out their website, extension.wisc.edu, as well. Bookmark that. Be sure to follow them on social media. Share the events and the different things that they share on their page. Mm-hmm. You just never know who might see it otherwise. And support our friends at UW Extension, because, boy, did they support our communities and put back into our communities. Anna, we appreciate you again. Say Happy New Year to everybody over there for us. And we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, thanks so much, James.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you as well, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Pete Hegseth, confirmation hearing.
I've never disparaged women serving in the military.
Except for, you know, the podcast interview in like late November of 2024 when he said women in combat weaken the military. Except for that, Pete, did you get body snatched? Are you not the same guy that sat down in the Brosphere podcast?
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
What's worse, fast drivers or slow drivers? Karina listening on WAUK in Milwaukee.
Slow drivers are the worst. They think too slow. They stop in the middle of the highway to think about where they're going. Maybe they need to turn left and right. They changing lines for, oh my God, I can do all day long.
Karina,
can you
tell us what you really think?
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Friday is the last workday before the Trump administration takes office. We'll ask our Friday Week in Review panel if the nation is ready for what's next.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says there are still some issues to be resolved, but his security cabinet will vote tomorrow on the ceasefire deal with Hamas. CBS's Robert Berger is in Jerusalem.
The feeling here is that these problems will get resolved and Netanyahu will be able to convene the cabinet and approve the deal and then set the whole process in motion.
Wildfire evacuees want to go back home, but Los Angeles County Sheriff Robert Luna says crews are still conducting searches.
Please be patient with us. We know people want to get back into their neighborhoods, but we're talking about people who have passed. And that's not always a good thing to talk about.
CBS's Natalie Brand is on Capitol Hill, where more of President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet picks fielded questions today.
Former NFL football player who also served in Congress, Scott Turner, nominated to lead HUD, said the country needs millions more homes to address the housing crisis.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Milwaukee Brewers Hall of Fame radio broadcaster Bob Uecker has passed away at the age of 90. The team announced his passing this morning. Uecker has been the team's primary radio broadcaster since 1971. The Milwaukee native is a member of several Hall of Fames, including the National Baseball Hall of Fame, which he was inducted into in 2003. On Tuesday, the Wisconsin Supreme Court heard oral arguments in a case that would potentially alter the Department of Natural Resources' ability to enforce the state's spills law and challenge the DNR's classification of what chemicals are considered hazardous substances. Brittany Merlot tells us more.
The lawsuit was filed by Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce in 2021 and argues that the DNR has not provided sufficient guidance on how it categorizes PFAS contaminants. A circuit court judge and a conservative-leaning court of appeals ruled in favor of the WMC. The state appealed that decision, stating that as this is an evolving issue and the DNR's guidance should be qualified as rulemaking. The Wisconsin Supreme Court will revisit the case today and will consider what authority the DNR should have in its rulemaking process as a state agency. Based on how the court rules in that case, it would expand Governor Tony Evers' rulemaking authority or maintain one committee's ability to strike down rules established by state agencies.
The Department of Transportation declares that all state highways are officially frozen, and the frozen road law will expand to include the entire state. The frozen road law allows heavier loads for trucks carrying logs and sand and salt for winter maintenance while cold weather allows. Wisconsin DOT and county highway personnel monitor temperature forecasts along with frost tubes